You're listening to Trot the Egging, hosted by John Hetherington, working with Widnes Rugby Union Football Club, sponsored by Boydells. So just touching on the Saints career before we move on, mate. So what key moments do you remember and talk us through the grand final you were involved in?
Key moments, obviously, your debut would always be one. Then your first derby. I remember we played Wigan at the DW once, and I started at half-back this game, and I started really well. And about 20 minutes in, I did like a kick down, and I got took out off the ball off Ryan Hoffman, and I dislocated my shoulder. So I was a bit gutted about that one because I was going well.
That's like a harsh injury, isn't it? So you're finding your feet, young lad, in a big game, which you're imposing yourself on.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't have much chance to play half-back as such as a kid at Saints because obviously personnel around and where I had to play. So I finally got my opportunity in a big game to start at half, which was my preferred position. And like I said, it was just an unfortunate. It happens. That's the game. That's the game we play, and that's the risk you run. Yeah. It's just unfortunate. That's the way it went.
And then, yeah, if you talk us through your grand final week, mate, how was it around St. Helens? How does that week go about? And talk us through your experience at Old Trafford.
The club tried to make it as relaxed as possible. So you're probably 2 weeks before you could be playing Wakefield, and they'd make it really intense. And you know, what I mean, they want your firing. They want everything perfect, ready leading up to this grand final. But as the grand final week come, I expected it to be a lot of talk about it, and there wasn't really. It got quite funny, to be honest, because usually Old Trafford grand final, it's usually raining or they water the pitch a lot.
Yeah.
And so midweek in training, we're Mick Potter, and he's got these barrels of water on the field, and they're dunking these rugby balls in them, and we've got to train with these balls, make sure they're wet and all. And then obviously we get to the grand final, it was dry as anything. So, but it didn't matter too much. It pissed it down a bit later on anyway.
Yeah.
But it just happens so fast. It's all a blur. To be honest, the day goes so quick. Obviously the coach journey, and you see all the fans. It is different. Like,
yeah,
you could see in the streets full of people, and the Utes are going. I just remember warming up and obviously trying to chat in the warm up, and Jammer was speaking, but you couldn't hear a thing. That was one of the most like standout things, where you just couldn't hear each other talk in the field because it was that loud.
Being
at Old Trafford, it feels like the rugby field literally finishes in this, and then the fans start. There's not much between, so you do feel that on top of you. It's good, to be honest, though. It's a good experience.
Yeah, then. You're not a United fan, are you?
No, I'm actually an Arsenal fan, to be honest.
Right, but it's still something you relish doing, mate, is it? I suppose it's a big arena, isn't it?
Yeah, especially where I've grew up. Old Trafford was always the pinnacle, one of sporting places, to be honest. Like, I know I was an Arsenal fan, but that was when I was a kid. My mum bought me an Arsenal kit, probably because it was cheapest in shop.
Right.
So I ended up supporting Arsenal then.
Fair enough.
I'd have to stay with him. But yeah. No, Old Trafford, it is an amazing place to go, and obviously not many people experience it, so I'm just blessed I have.
Yeah, and with us, I'm saying it like I've done it with you, mate, I've watched it, but with you doing it so young, do you think it was something, without sounding like a weapon to you, is it something you're expected to happen more often?
Yeah, of
course.
Did
you take it a little bit for granted, do you think, maybe?
I wouldn't say I took it for granted, because it was just, like I said, I've been in a successful environment from being a young kid, so that sort of manifests, if that makes sense, and it not becomes normal, but it becomes expected as well. Like, obviously, if you're playing at Saints, you're expected to be successful. The pressure that is there to be successful, so you expect and you want to achieve them things, and it's something that is in the sight, if you know what I mean. Like, you're at a big club, so you're going to know you're there or thereabouts with trophies, grand finals. Obviously, I wasn't fortunate enough to play in a Challenge Cup final.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think I took it for granted, but I did expect or probably thought there would be another chance or to get there again, or I wanted to get there again, which we did the following year.
Yeah.
But that was 2014, sorry, was we won, but I didn't play in that game.
Right. So how'd you go through that week then, if you don't mind me asking, sorry, mate? How'd you go through that week when you're not playing?
No, it is. Obviously, the disappointment of not playing is the. But then I think your main focus then is just making sure the lads who are playing, like, you can't be selfish. You can't put your own needs before the team. So, like, I'd always, like, say Tommy or something. I'd be like, do you need any extras? Do you need anything? You know what I mean? Making sure that they're right and they're ready.
Yeah.
That's what's important at the end of the day. It's not the player. It's about getting that trophy at the end of the day.
Yeah, you are the little soul, can't you, mate? But when it comes to the business, you've got to be honest. Your bit,
I'm not that type of player.
Yeah,
I'd be pissed off at times if I thought I'd been a bit hard done to, but I wouldn't let anyone know that or show that. I'm not that type of person.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, I'd sort of keep my emotions to myself.
Yeah.
But like I said, grand final week, it happens so quick, and it's pretty chill. It's a lot more relaxed than you'd think. Training days are shorter. Gym's not as intense. It's basically because you're not going to get any fitter by then. You're not going to get any stronger.
No.
It's just about getting as healthy as you can and making sure your mind's there.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Right. And internationally, you had a chance, or you did play for the Knights, mate, and you were involved in the senior playing squad while you were at Saints. So
yeah.
How does that come about? Is it an email and... where'd you meet and how is it when you first go? Is it like your first day at Saints all over again?
Yeah, it's a bit different with England. I think we got a text and a phone call. I think it was Steve McNamara at the time. But I don't know if he wouldn't have been the Knights coach, I don't think.
Right.
And just get a call saying, like, obviously, congratulations, you've been selected for this and that. And just give you, like, we were based in Leigh, so it was all right, to be fair. I was only down the road this time. And then you just literally turn up, get your gear, go through your meetings, the process, the values, and pretty much just get out there and train and get some sets done and get your moves and your playbook, obviously, so you're all on the same page.
Yeah. And are you there as a standoff, mate,
I actually did. I went as a half, but I think I ended up playing centre again. I went in as a half and... I can't remember if it was Steph Ratchford or someone went down early in the week, and I ended up then, I was due to start, and ended up on the bench, and then I ended up at the centre.
Right.
So it was a mad one again.
Easy enough to get your head around though, mate.
It is, but it's like, there's a lot of times where I'd plan the week focused on you do like videos, so say like, I don't know, we're playing Leeds this week and I'm against Callum Watkins at the time or something.
Yeah.
So I'll be doing a lot of my week build up on like Callum, the players on that edge, and you know, like defending and what weaknesses and strengths they've got. I'd probably be doing all my focus on that, and then to be like the day before, or sometimes I've got to game day and been
dropped on
you. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you just got to adapt and react. But I think that's part of being quite versatile. It has also helped me in ways as well, where I find myself mostly if I've been fit in the team.
Yeah. All right, mate. And from Knights to being involved in the senior squad, is there much of a difference other than personnel, really?
No, because a lot of the lads at the time, to be honest, was there or thereabouts in the England setup anyway. I was playing with a lot of them at Saints anyway.
Yeah.
I think the Knights was the first step to get you in that environment and that culture to then move you on up into the senior squad. I remember at the time when we was with the Knights, we went and met up with the England boys, and it did feel like a separation at the time.
Right.
Because you're looking around, you're thinking, oh, these are all great and that, but then I'm going back home playing against them every week or playing with them.
It's just a bit bizarre.
Yeah, it is.
Right, mate. So your time at Saints is coming to an end now, and is it a contract expiry? Have you asked for a release, and what clubs were interested?
No, so it come about last year at Saints. How did it come around? I think I was injured at the time. I think I tore my I ruptured my hamstring, and I had that repaired.
Right.
And then I'd come back from it, and I'd had quite a few issues with it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then there was talks of me staying and not staying, and then I was speaking to Mike at the time. Mike Rush, he's been great with me anyway when I
Yeah.
was there and when I've left. And it was just obviously money would have dropped down, which yeah, I was like, yeah. And then in the end, it sort of just become like, if you can find somewhere else, then great. If not, then there'll be like a small
A
fallback.
backup
But
deal for you, yeah.
yeah, but it was sort of like they didn't. I don't think Mike had it in his heart to say, like, go on leave, because I've been there from a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I've become really good friends with everyone at the club, to be honest.
Yeah, well, you grew up there, mate, haven't you?
Yeah, so
Yeah.
I think it. I still speak to Mike to this day, and Derek Traynor and that. I
Yeah.
don't think it was in their heart for him to say, like, it's time to move on. But then I did have quite a lot of offers, to be honest. So I was fortunate that way again. But I chose Warrington at the time because I thought it's another really good club, and they'll be there or thereabouts at the end of the year. And it's, you know what I mean, leaving Saints to Warrington, it's not a huge, it's not, I won't say it's a step down as such.
Yeah, no, two big clubs, mate, aren't they? And
Yeah.
do you represent yourself, guys, or do you have someone?
No, at the time I was with Andy Clark. I've been with Andy from being younger. Now I'm with Justin Harris now.
Right. Okay.
But most of the time, most of my deals at Saints, it was done through myself, not really through my agents.
Yeah. So is just being nosy, I understand if you don't want to answer it. So how do they entice players like? Like they can't afford Saints to have wanted to let you go, really. So did he show you around the training ground, show you around the ground, introduce you to
What's this? When
like
it's
an
signing
interested
Saints?
club, like say Warrington? Then when they've signed you, what did they introduce you to people hired at the club? Did they show you around, or was it just a chat up, like one to
No,
one?
at the time I was still at Saints. I was
Yeah.
contracted there. I was, and to be honest, when I was leaving Saints, I was due to go to Brisbane first. I had an offer from Brisbane Broncos to go down there,
Right.
and then and also Parramatta. There was, but they sort of fell through, and it just wasn't feasible in the end.
Yeah.
That's why I ended up going to Warrington. But I spoke to obviously Simon and Tony Smith at the time on the phone, and then he just said, like, come down to the club, show you around, this is what we're about, and just have a good chat, really. Went down
Yeah.
for a medical. So I went down for a medical to Warrington, though, and ended up in a car crash on the way.
You're
So,
joking.
but I actually had the car crash in front of the physio. He was like, oh no. But then,
If say you had a niggle off it, who'd have believed that, innit?
I know, but he was literally right in front of me. It's on
Yeah.
B&Q car park. He said, meet me at B&Q, we'll drive down to, where was it? Bolton University. We'll go through the medical down there because they got like a good testing center.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no worries. So then I'm driving, and then this van comes and swipes me from side.
Bloody hell,
I thought,
can't write it, can
going
you?
for a medical with my record and the chances of being in a car crash
Yeah,
before it.
it would probably Tommy Mack, mate.
And I won't surprise me being him.
So, yeah, what key moments do you remember from Warrington? And first off, what's it like going into that new environment again? And a few faces you'd recognise, but quite a few you might not, and
I
getting to
didn't
know
really
people.
know many people at all at Warrington before when I went there, to be honest.
Right.
I remember I hadn't actually signed, and I think Ryan Atkins sent me a message on Twitter. He was like, oh, congrats, mate. Like, welcome to the club. You'll love it and all that. So that made me feel a bit more towards it. And I hadn't actually signed at that time.
Yeah, good touch from him though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it just
Yeah.
made you feel a bit more comfortable and a bit more relaxed. And but when I first went down, I didn't really know anyone as such. I'd seen obviously the odd lad you speak to, but not on a friendship term.
Yeah.
And then Daz Clark, he'd signed at the time as well. And he lived down in Casper. He just moved to St Helens, and I didn't know. And he's like, oh, I'm living in St Helens. I said, oh, so me and Daz ended up travelling together then every day.
Right.
So since then, me and my Daz have come like best friends. He
Yeah.
moved into my street. He got a house in my street. So I spend a lot of time with Daz.
Yeah, good man. So, any key moments there that you remember or stand out? And your first game, how was that? And what do you remember about that?
Yeah, once again, I started on the bench, and I think it was Steph Rashford again. Must be due to Steph. We had Hull away, again, pissing it down, and Steph went down at literally 5 minutes into the game, so I went on at fullback. I went really well, to be fair, and I had not too bad of a first season. Didn't play as many as I'd like, but I was just buying my time, and then the year after, we had a game at Salford. It was quite like a dramatic finish when Chris Sandow got that drop goal.
Oh, yeah.
But in that game, I ruptured my Achilles in that game. Ooh. So that was sort of my last game and done at Warrington as such then.
Yeah.
But it was a really good club, to be honest. Like, really friendly, really nice, made you feel welcome. They actually really looked after you.
Yeah. So coming to the end of that, then Maker's injuries brought that exit a bit early, hasn't it? And was there an offer to stay there? Or...
No, so what happened then was it was quite early on in the season. I think it was only round 4 or 5 or something. Yeah. So then I had to sit down with Tony and the physio, and it's not a short injury that you look at a long time. So they was just like, right, well, basically, we want you to stay on for your treatment, your recovery and that, but we're going to free up your money for the cap, obviously. Right. So they to be honest, they were brilliant. They paid me salary up in full.
Yeah.
And, but they said, make sure, like, because obviously then I wasn't contracted, I could have stayed at home and tossed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, they were really good, like the physio, Ben Sterling, they looked after me. So I carried on training there at Warrington for the best part of another 8 months when I didn't have to, and the club didn't have to, really.
Yeah. And Gaz got half his petty money off you. Daz, sorry.
Yeah, for yeah. Tighten yeah. out. Yeah.
So what's just the rehab involved? Because like you said, it's not a small injury, that, mate.
Well, obviously you're in an air cast boot for a while, but there's not much you can do in the beginning with an Achilles, and then obviously it's just then getting, being able to weight bear, partially weight bear on crutches, try to get yourself off them. Then just trying to walk is a task at first.
Yeah.
But I was having issues with it, so I had to have another operation where it removed these sutures that I had put in. So it was causing like a lot of aggravation.
Right.
So that set me back a little bit. And then after that, just what you can imagine, loading it and then learning to run again, strengthening it, speed, power, the usual, a lot of ankle stability exercises, and then building up everything else around it that's had to compensate for that or has deconditioned itself.
Yeah, so what? How did Toronto get in touch? And...
Right, so at this time I was. So I'm at Warrington, and then I was lucky enough, I had offers again.
Yeah.
Down at OKR, Salford, and a few others. But nothing in writing or nothing permanent in what I've been putting a deal. And then I got a call off my agent saying. Because we'd heard talks about Toronto and it's going to happen this, but no one had ever really thought it was.
Yeah.
And then he was just saying, what's your thoughts on this? Like, it's going ahead. And I was just skeptical on it at first. I was like, well, didn't know what it was about. And my friend James Laithwaite at the time, he was in the same boat, and they got in touch with us both, and we said, should we just do it? We ended up just like, yeah, go on then, we'll give it a go. Like,
yeah,
see what it's about. And to be honest, it was the first 2 years. It was really good. It's an amazing city. If you've never been, I do recommend going.
Yeah. So what happened? So you fly out there and you set up base, and is everything there that's promised? And because it got a bit of a bad.
Yeah, in the end, the first year it was a struggle. We was down at Bradford, Huddersfield, Leeds. We was training all over at first,
right. But
it was a good group of lads, so we was getting through it, and we was on a good crack. But obviously, you was based in England throughout pre-season. Once the season started, home games obviously in Toronto, so we was flying back and forth then quite a fair bit. They try to get you out in blocks, if possible, because it is an hard. You know what I mean? It's 8-hour flight. Time difference is a killer. Coming back's even worse because so your sleep pattern's all over the place. But when we got out there, like I said, brilliant setup. Had our field place to stay. Like everything was covered. David was looking after everyone, and it was really good, to be honest.
Yeah. So what stuff did you get up to while you were in Toronto, mate? Did you go
I did
sightseeing and
also, yeah, obviously
yeah?
see the Niagara Falls, the CN Tower, went down the lakes, and then just the usual zoos and obviously a few bars, restaurants, all that. But it is the beaches there, there's all sorts to do.
Yeah. Was it taken off, guys?
Yeah, it was like say, yeah, the first ever game we played there, I think there was a when we kicked off, there was probably only a 500 people in the stand, and we was like, you know, it's a bit dead. And
Yeah.
halfway through the game, then it ended up half full. It's a bit strange. And then we found out that it's quite normal there. People turn up, you know, at the baseball, they're expecting to be on for probably 3, 4 hours, and they turn up
Yeah.
late and they dawdle in. But once they realised it's quite intense, it's basically 2 hours and you're home. And it did each week then, it was growing and growing. And I remember like the last game there, I think there was, well, you couldn't even sit down. There was 10, 11,000
Yeah.
there.
Oh, so they had potential then, really, didn't
Yeah,
it?
no,
And
they actually did. If it was
yeah.
run properly, like I said, in the end, it wasn't run right. And some of the staff at the top as well just didn't help.
Yeah.
They just shouldn't have been in that position to run a club. And like it was probably hard for David at the time. He had no knowledge of probably of rugby or how to run a rugby league club, and the people supporting him. Yeah, just I won't get into that much, but. And then obviously
Yeah,
you've seen like now 3 years on the back end where David's pulled his money, he's not paid anyone. And they've gone on the run sort of.
does that filter through, mate? So do you just get a feel of that, and then does that interrupt the harmony? Even though textbook is go on to, no, we're solid, we know what's happening, really. Is it a worry, and does it ripple through?
Yeah, two years. It was. You always knew like payday might be a day too late because it was coming from Canada to London 2 years else or
Yeah.
one way or another. It was getting, however they did it. So you expect it, and then obviously the last year, then it'd be we never got paid at Christmas. That was the first warning sign, and then you've got told it's just a blip. Promised us all sorts, and then nothing ever come of it. And but we got that back. And then each month, then everything was just getting a bit later and a bit later. And then I think it was like May. Obviously, we'd started in Super League then and played six games and we hadn't won. And then COVID hit and then it just stopped.
Yeah, and but it leaves you hanging that big time, don't it? You've got
Yeah, that's
families, you've
it.
got bills.
It was just all built on false promises. Then everything was
Yeah.
got told was just a lie and this is coming, that's happening. And then in the end, it was just a circus. There's no other way to put it. Well,
Yeah.
the people delivering the messages knew it wasn't true what was coming. And they're just leading everyone on, trying to buy more time and more time. And now, obviously, we're in the thick of it with the union and the lawsuits and this and that. It just got ugly when it
It's a
got a
shame,
point.
really, isn't it?
Yeah,
Yeah.
like I said, it did. If it was run correctly, they did have potential and it would have. Well, what I see with my own eyes, it was taking off.
Yeah. So did you have to shop yourself about a bit, mate, and see what was out there?
Yeah, like I said, it was pretty well at the time. Once that happened, COVID hit, so
Right.
no one was doing anything.
Yeah.
You couldn't find a job. You couldn't play rugby. I was lucky enough; I had some money to fall back on, and like I said, that sort of got me through to now.
Yeah. So if you don't mind me touching on it, mate, how was the professional career you had, because you were in big moments and big games, and then doing that, was juggling that and family life difficult?
Yeah, like I said,
Yeah.
the freeze in Canada did take a toll on my family at the time, and
Yeah.
like I said, I split from my missus and my kids, and then we moved apart, and I met a girl in Canada, and
Right.
so she moved over and whatnot. So I had like a couple of years relationship with this girl, and but it just didn't work. It was pretty hard in the end for us both. Like she was doing law school over here, then back, and then she had to go back for COVID, and then didn't
Yeah.
see each other for 8 months, and it was just sort of died down in the end. So it was tough, and it does make you realise what I'd actually missed out on with the kids and stuff. Like I tried my best. I'd seen him every day I was here,
Yeah.
but it's pretty hard when you're having. Like you said, fabricated fun, I'd use the term. You know, you're picking them up and you just got to
Yeah.
let's go play centre, let's do this. It's just not fulfilling. As a father, it's good because I'm seeing him. I mean, my ex-missus is brilliant that way on with the kids, and she'd never say, you're not seeing him or this. I could have him as much as I wanted, which we only lived down the road from each other at the time. So it was pretty easy. So I'd see him every day, but like I said, I wouldn't get to go to bed and the wake up, come home from training and that sort of, like, little things that you don't realise you miss out on. Starting missing that, and it did, it affected my mental health quite a lot. It was a struggle, but that's all, we're all sorted now, and we've moved on from all that.
No, thanks for being honest, mate, appreciate your answer. I understand it's probably difficult. So what has the last year done for you, and do you feel like your body, you've a bit revitalized and you're ready to go again?
Yeah, well, like I said, the first part of the year, like COVID, there's nothing much happening there. Still training to it because I was hopeful I was going to re-sign somewhere else, and I was getting, like, my agent had ring and said, oh, such a body's interested, and then nothing had come of it, and then someone else's, and this was just going on for about a year.
Yeah.
And obviously I had time to reflect, like, I need to get myself something sorted away from rugby here, because this is, do you know what I mean, something more long term, like secure my future in that way on. So got to a point of, you're literally talking about a month ago, I was done with rugby. I didn't want anything to do with it.
Okay.
I had no intentions of going back to rugby, and
not even amateur, just done.
No, just nothing. I hadn't touched a rugby ball since the last game for Toronto. Sorry, tell a lie. There was one in the garden full of water. I put it in the bin. I put it in the bin. That's the only time I touched a rugby ball.
Right.
And so then I got a phone call saying Salford are interested.
I did hear that rumour, but I didn't want to bring it up in case about me.
No, it was true. That was going on for a while. And then they said, do you want to come down and we'll take you on for a month training? And I said, thanks for the offer, but I can't just go and train, not being awful, for a month for free, and how am I going to make money? Do you know what I mean? And they were like, all right, yeah, I understand that. We'll come down for 3 days. And so I said, yeah, sweet. Just show you that I'm fit and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then I just texted him the night before. I said, like, I'm sorry, like, I'm just not with it. I'm done. I've had enough of it. I hadn't even watched a rugby game on TV.
Yeah. Well, so when you say you've done, you've literally.
Yeah. Like, I tried to watch a rugby match and I was just not even interested in it. I just wasn't watching it. I had no interest in it at all.
Right.
Considering that my whole life had been rugby.
Yeah.
I was like the complete opposite now. And then I tried, when the Salford thing come about, I tried watching that weekend. They played Warrington. And I think Warrington hammered him. But I only watched 10 minutes of that and I just switched it off. I was just like, I had no interest in it.
Yeah.
And then, so I turned that down. And then the week after that, it started playing on my mind a bit. And then I started to go running again and different things. And I started to, I don't know, I started feeling like I wanted to play again.
Yeah.
And then Barrow phoned me. Sorry, at this time I was still sort of done.
Yeah.
I got a phone call off Paul Roller saying, Barrow are interested. Would you go down and help him out? 2 games. They've got 2 big games coming up. They've got no players in that. And I was like, Rose, I'm done. I literally spoke to him at Trafford Centre the week before.
Yeah.
I'm done, like. And he was like, what about for this and that? And I was like, no, like, it's not about money. It's not about this. I'm done.
Yeah.
And then anyway, Barrow rang me the day after. It was like, we're short and this. And I was like, right, so I'll do it. So then he ended up going down to Barrow. And this time I haven't touched a ball. I've not ran. I've not done anything for 16 months.
Yeah.
And then I've ended up signing there now to the end of the year because I went down. I actually enjoyed it. Touched the ball. I got around the lads again.
Yeah.
And I was like, I spoke to the coach, Paul, there. And I said, you know what? I've loved it. I really enjoyed myself again. It's sort of give me that little fire back again.
Yeah.
So.
And who knows what will happen, mate, innit?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I had the opportunity to go Super League or part time. Then I thought, I've missed out on so much with the family and stuff. And the threes have been away. The part time, it suits what I need to do now, because I was in the process of trying to set up a coffee shop before COVID hit. So
right.
I want to get that sorted and a few other little ventures, and that gives me the time and to basically secure my future, if that makes sense. Like, there's nothing more I'd like to go back to Super League and light it up, and you could win Man of Steel, but where's that going to get me in another year or two? I'm probably going to be back to this position.
Yeah, no, 100%,
mate. Just to try to start thinking about my future as well now. I'm getting to that age.
Just a quick reminder that Boydell Sports are our sponsors here at Trot the Egg In. So if you go down to their flagship store in West Bank and quote Trot the Egg In, you'll get a free stud and a 1% discount. You've been listening to Trot the Egg In. Thanks to our sponsors, Boydell Sports. Follow us on Twitter at Trot the Egg In and Instagram at Trot_the_egg_in.